Morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. So reading from the book of Psalms, near the middle of the Bible. If you've got the church Bible near you, it'll be on page 543. So Psalm 1, we're starting at Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen.
Well, as I already said, this past week I was at camp in Belfast, and if you read in the weekly church email, there's a prayer section of it, and in that prayer section, we were praying for a lad called Henry, that he'd come to know the Lord, and on Thursday night, Henry took his first steps on the journey of faith. So praise the Lord, hallelujah, and thank you for being part of God's way of rescuing and redeeming people. But that was obviously the highlight of camp, you know, someone coming to know the Lord Jesus. But one of my other highlights, which is much less spiritual, is that every mealtime at Belfast, we had a sing song. So this was one of my favorite moments because as bad as I am at singing, I do love a good sing song. And what would happen is someone would stand up on a chair and just belt out their favorite song. It wasn't a particularly, it didn't have to be a Christian song. It could just be any song whatsoever. And what was so key to those songs being sung by everyone else in the dining hall was the first line of a really good song sets you up for what's coming, doesn't it? You know, whenever you hear those first lines of an iconic song, you think, oh yeah. As I looked around the hall, you could see young people sort of nudging one another, being like, I love this, this is my tune, this is my jam, and they'd hop up onto the chair and sing out so loudly, because the first line of any song is so vital, because it lets you know what's coming. So here's some examples of iconic songs that were sung this past week. I will try not to sing them, but just a small town girl living in a lonely world. Next, she's got a smile that seems to me, reminds me of childhood memories. People going, oh, I love this song, straight up on the chair. And of course, the most iconic of all, we're soaring, flying. There's not a star in heaven that we can't reach. High School Musical, so, so good. But as we looked around, people were just like, I love this song. It's so good because that iconic first line lets you know what the song is all about and what is going on. You see it in the car, don't you? Turn up the radio. This is a belter. Let's sing it at the top of our lungs. Here's another iconic first line. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. You know, the opening words to the first song in the songbook of the Bible, the Psalms. And over the next 2 weeks, as we look at Psalm 1 and 2, we'll see that these are sort of the gateway into the Psalms. They will help us understand every other psalm that we read because they set the tone. They set the tone about what the songs in the Bible are all about. And think about this. The very first word is this word, blessed. So the songs in the Bible are all about being blessed, being happy. You know, often, whenever people come to the Bible, they think, God seems to be anti-happiness, anti-joy. When in reality, this first word tells us that God is in the business of joy, happiness, and human flourishing. Think about it. In a world that has music, the creator of the world could have made a world without music. He brings us joy and happiness through song. So the God of the Bible this morning wants you to be supremely happy and to be supremely blessed. This morning we'll be looking at the pursuit of happiness, and Psalm 1 will show us how to be happy, and it is not the way the world tells us to be happy. So, first point is, the pursuit of happiness involves saying no and saying yes. Saying no and saying yes. So look down at verse 1. Blessed is the one. Let me just pause there. How would you finish that sentence? Blessed or happy is the one who has been on holiday, has passed their exams, has a big house, got into university. I wonder how you would finish that sentence. And the way we finish that sentence probably depends on the context we find ourselves in, right? You know, if we don't have a house, if we're broke, if we're worried about exams, that probably dictates how we would define blessedness and happiness. Yet, how does the psalmist finish that opening line? Look down. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So the blessed one, the happy one, is the one who says no to those who are against God and his ways, which is the opposite of what the world tells us, isn't it? The world says, say yes to everything, say no to nothing. And if you look down, the psalmist used three different words to describe these people that we should say no to. Wicked, sinners, and mockers. And if you're new to church, you think, that's really harsh. That's really firm. Well, why is he so hard on this? Why is he so clear on what he thinks about those types of people? Well, the psalmist believes that God's way is the way to true and lasting happiness. So God is the source of all happiness and all joy. So he says, if you're going to these other things, these other lesser things, you're going to lesser goodness, lesser happiness. If you want true happiness, the psalmist says, go to the source. You actually see our kids living this principle out after the service often, going to the source. If you see a little kid running around with a bag of sweets, you'll see another kid go up to them, and they don't say, give me one of your sweets. They say, where is Pete? Where's Pete? Take me to the source of the sweets. Because they know, you know, if they go to one of their friends, they're going to get like a wee Skittle or something. But if they go to Pete, they get a bag of sweets. The psalmist says, go to the source of happiness. Those lesser things in your life, don't go to those. Go to the Lord of all creation, the creator of all happiness. So say no to. Now, whenever we read this, you know, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You initially question, don't you? Okay, does this mean, as Christians, we're not to spend time with anyone who's not a Christian? Well, no, of course not. That's not the case, because if you look at the whole Bible, we see that really clearly. What the psalmist here is talking about is the level of commitment and loyalty. So when you read verse 1, you see escalating levels of commitment, don't you? So to walk in step, to stand in the way, to sit in the company. These are escalating levels of allegiance. So what do these things symbolize? Walk, stand, and sit. So to walk with someone means to be heading in the same direction, right? To be heading towards the same destination. Which, if you're a human being, you do not like to be going against the crowd, do you? It's not nice to be going in the opposite direction to everyone else. We all like the herd mentality, don't we? Let's all go where everyone else is going. So what do? We laugh at the same jokes, we watch the same TV shows, and we make the same life decisions as they do, which is natural, isn't it? Because when we look at the world around us, the world tells us this is the way to be happy. This is the way to be blessed, to do these things, to say these things, to go to these places. And yet, God's word says the opposite. He says, walk in the opposite direction as to where they're going. I remember being helped by an older man at a church back in Northern Ireland with this, who was an investment banker. And he said for him, his mantra was, if he had the same car, went on the same holidays, wore the same clothes, did the same hobbies as people in his business, he probably wasn't living a distinct enough Christian life, because he was going in the same direction. He was finding pleasure in the same things as everyone else. Whenever he thought, actually, I believe that true and lasting happiness is in the Lord, which means I'm going to give my money so that other people hear about the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice my holidays to go and serve on camps. I find that helpful as a teenager. Perhaps you will. So to walk in the same direction. Next we see to stand with, what is the word? Stand in the way of sinners take. Now to stand with someone is to show your support for someone, isn't it? We use this in the world today, don't we? You hear it in sports sometimes. We stand against racism. And that's a great thing, isn't it? To stand against things that are wrong. But often, why is it bad to stand with the wicked? Well, the wicked are so flexible in their stance, aren't they? You know, they say one thing, but then they pick and choose. So, for example, football might condemn racism, but then they host their World Cup in a place that is oppressive to other religions and to women. And you say, okay, you're standing against racism, but I'm not so sure. You seem to be pretty interested in the money here. So as Christians, to stand with the wicked is not good because they're very pick and choose how they stand. To be blessed again, really unattractive message, isn't it? Is to go against the grain of everyone else. Finally, to sit in the company of mockers. So in the ancient world, to sit down was a legal position. You know, the judge would sit down and say, yes, I have judged you. You are right or you are wrong. So for us, it means to sit in the company of the mockers is to agree with what they say. Say, yes, you are right. So to be blessed is not to be committed to things that are opposed to God. You know, if you're struggling to think about this, perhaps another way of putting walking, standing, sitting is this. Thinking, believing, belonging. Thinking, believing, belonging. Are you going against the grain in the way you think, the way you believe, and the way you belong? You know, I've said it already, haven't I? But often the world says that in order to be happy, you shouldn't say no to anyone. You should go along with the crowd, right? And yet the Bible says no to wickedness is the way to true and lasting happiness and blessing. But even as I've been speaking, I know many of you have been thinking, well, that's really hard. And actually, the things that the world walks towards are really, really attractive to me. So whenever we hear this, do not do this in the Bible, we need to be reminded that what we're called to do, the positive, is so, so much greater than what the world offers, which is what the psalmist points to in verse 2, right? Read it together. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. You know, whenever we say no to sin and wickedness, we have to say yes to something so much greater. So here's a wee example to sort of visualize this. Right now, imagine if I said to you, I will give you this Freddo right now. You're thinking, buzzing. I love a good Freddo, love a snack during the service, right? So you're like, yeah, I really want that, Dave. I want it right now. Look at you, you're all salivating. But then imagine if I said, well, or you can have this right now. You're thinking, oh my goodness, that's like 15 Freddos, that's unreal. I want this right now. But the reality is, you know, it's a small little picture, isn't it? But you're captivated by something so much greater than the wee small Freddo, right? So the psalmist says, whenever you're saying no to things, say yes to something so much greater. So the psalmist says, to live a happy life, to live a blessed life, is to delight in the law of the Lord. You think to yourself, the law? Really? That's a really boring, like miserable bit of the Bible, right? Well, whenever we read law here, it's the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. And as we've seen in Genesis, first five books of the Bible as a whole really, is about creation, sin, and redemption. So whenever the psalmist thinks about God's goodness in creating a good world full of many things we can enjoy, whenever he thinks about the way humans have rebelled against God, and then whenever he thinks about the way God in his kindness has saved rebels like us, he says, how can I not delight in that? That God is so good that he created a lovely world for us to live in, that, oh my goodness, I've gone so far wrong against him, and yet in his kindness, he saves us. And you know, as you read the book of the Psalms, you'll see this time and again. In all the Psalms, they're always reflecting on God creating all things. They'll reflect on how far they've wandered from the Lord. And then they'll sing of the redemption that he's worked in their lives. They'll sing about the hope of heaven that is to come. So whenever he says, reflect, meditate on these words day and night, the Psalms, the Bible as a whole, is not just for one season. It is for every single season. The Psalter is the church's official song and prayer book. It's to be used in all situations. It's not just something that you pick and choose. Often whenever we think of the word meditation, we think of, okay, empty brain and just, I don't even know what I did there. But you think just let everything out of your mind. And yeah, he says, fill up your mind with the goodness of God, the kindness that he's shown to you in the Lord Jesus. That is how to be blessed, because it reminds you, as you go against the grain of everyone else, that God and his ways are so, so much greater. The path to true and lasting happiness. But of course, in the psalmist's day, like in ours, you know, he would have written this and recognized that this simply is not the way the world appears to work. You know, sometimes those who seem to have it hardest are the least happy. You know, those who love and follow God seem to be having the hardest time. You know, obeying God in our culture seems to make life so much harder. Whenever we say no to our desires and yes to God, it seems to make our suffering all the more greater sometimes, doesn't it? Which is why as we look on at these next verses, 3 and 4, the psalmist gives us a really helpful picture contrasting the wicked and the righteous. And if you're concerned that this sermon's very top-heavy, so the first point is quite large, and we'll work our way through a bit quicker. But look down, the contrasting fruitfulness of the pursuit of happiness. So the contrasting fruitfulness of the pursuit of happiness. Verse 3 reads like this. That person, which is the righteous person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. It's two pretty striking visuals, aren't they? You know, I don't need to do any illustrations here because the picture is so clear. Close your eyes. Imagine a tree planted by water, a tree bearing fruit in season, a tree that is prospering. You open your eyes now. Provision, produce, and prospering. Provision, produce, and prospering. That is what the Lord offers us. And what's the contrast? Picture in your mind again, chaff blown away by the wind. Little casings of seed just, you wouldn't even look twice at them. They've completely disappeared. And yet, as we've already noted, we look at the world around and we almost feel like it's the other way around. It feels like the righteous are the ones who are blown away and the wicked seem to be like the tree that's flourishing, right? You know, the business that oppresses the poor has the highest profits. The one who is master of flattery and spin gets promoted. The one who puts themselves before others, takes credit for other people's work, gets promoted. By contrast, following the Lord Jesus seems to be weak, frail, and easily blown away. And the good news is, the Bible's very realistic. There are countless times as you read the Psalms, you'll see the righteous being persecuted and under pressure. And yet this is a perspective setter, that even though it feels like we're being overwhelmed and overcome by the wicked, we are prospering. We need to remind what God's word says to us. You know, we need to remember that our happiness is not dependent on changing situations, but in our unchanging God. So whenever you look at your life, do not judge it by human means. Put on your spiritual specs of Psalm 1. Remember the heavenly perspective of a tree planted by the water. Let's reread. Look down at verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So the righteous are like a tree, the polar opposite of chaff, right? Chaff is blown away. It leaves no legacy. You know, what you could do this evening is just think about these two images and draw applications for yourself. Think about a tree, anchored, firm and secure. It's not moving when the storms of life come. Whenever the rains don't come, they're rooted deep down into the earth, being provided for. You know, Paul later in Colossians would take this image of Christians being rooted in Christ. And we see, don't we? The tree that is rooted in the Lord Jesus bears fruit in season. You see that in verse 3, don't you? Which yields its fruit in season. Again, I just love the realism here. It doesn't say that every single moment of your life will be immense fruit. No, in season, they yield fruit. So, which means there may be seasons in your life where you feel like, I am not bearing much fruit. But think about it, you don't go to your apple tree in December and think, why are there no apples? Because they don't bear fruit in December. Is that right, Rob? Yeah, thanks, Rob. So whenever we think about this, faithfulness, yielding fruit in season, for some of us, another year faithfully plodding in the same direction is wonderful. You know, whenever you think of a cross-section of a tree with its rings, how many years it's been going, do you know what? Some years, it may just feel like you've just added another ring to the tree. Stay rooted, keep growing, because you know in time, in season, you will bear fruit. And stating the obvious here, but you do not bear fruit because you're really class, but it's because of your root. Because if you're in the Lord Jesus, he will bring about fruit. Compare that to the chaff. Look down at verse 4. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Think about this. Their leaf withers. Their leaf will wither. There'll be no provision, no produce, and no perseverance. That is not a picture you want to look like, is it? To be blown away. In our world today, it just seems like everything that we do encourages us to be chaff, doesn't it? We are encouraged to do unimportant, inconsequential things with our free time. And this is me looking in a mirror, looking back at myself. I'm not saying anything to anyone out here, but we are encouraged, aren't we, to scroll and to watch our lives away, to waste our lives looking at a screen when there's a world that is in great need out there. I find this helpful thing about this. John Piper once said that the Lord allowed social media to be created to show us that you really do have time to read your Bible. It's so true, isn't it? Because actually, my phone has this wee thing where it says like your screen time, the amount of time you spent on various apps, and it pops up every Monday morning. And sometimes you're just like, it's just horrifying, isn't it? I've spent that amount of time looking at my phone, really? Instead, think about the picture of the tree digging roots deep down into the law of the Lord. The way to be blessed, the way to be happy, is saying no to the world, no to our comforts, and yes to the Lord. Whenever we look down at verse 3, we read, whatever they do prospers. And we've already highlighted, haven't we, that often this does not feel like the case. Well, time and again, as you read the Psalms, as you read it through the lens of Psalm 1, you'll see that people who are righteous men, following the Lord faithfully, are in times of deep despair and lament. How do we understand this then? Well, I think, once again, it is a perspective reset. Trusting in the Lord may not appear to lead to prosperity right here, right now, but think about the bigger picture. You know, actually, you could have broken this whole psalm down as two ways to live. Because as we're going to see now in verses 5 and 6, the Lord's way leads to true and lasting happiness and prosperity, whereas the wicked, you know, they may have happiness now, but it is short and it is fleeting, and it leads to ruin, which is what we see in the last contrast. So look down, the contrasting outcomes to the pursuit of happiness, reading from verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So the final contrast, you know, we've looked at the fruit, but we also contrast the end of the pursuits of happiness, the two different pursuits of happiness. So the psalmist reminds us that despite the appearance of things, the Lord of all the earth sees what is done on his creation, and he knows. And on that last day, it will be extremely evident who is planted in the Lord, the one who is delighted to do his will, the one who has been a mocker, a sinner, and a wicked person will not stand. I said at the start, didn't I, that the first word is all about being blessed, about being supremely happy. Well, in the original text, when you look down, the last word is actually destruction. So we see here, it begins with blessing and ends in destruction. And he makes it really clear, there are only two ways to live. There are only two ways to live. Those who stand with the wicked won't stand in the judgment to come. We see that, don't we, in verse 5. Those who sit in the company of mockers won't sit in the assembly of the righteous. We see that in verse 5. Two ways to live, two ways to find happiness. And perhaps if you're sitting there and saying, I really, really disagree and do not like this language of judgment and destruction, or just don't agree with it, hopefully you'll see that I haven't just had a grumpy week because I've been with teenagers all week, but actually this is in the Bible. I'm not preaching on destruction and judgment because I get a kick out of it, but it's because it's in God's word, which means we have to preach on it. The Bible is really clear that there are two ways to live and that there will be judgment on our lives as to whether we've lived going in the same direction as everyone else or going towards God. I don't know about you, but whenever I read this psalm, it lays bare my heart, doesn't it? We walk with sinners. We love to stand with the wicked. We delight to sit in the company of mockers. One of my favorite things about songs are that they help us think about people. Whenever you hear that iconic song, you think, oh, I remember this was my wedding song. This was my first dance with my wife. You hear a song and you think, oh, I remember that holiday when I went with my friends. Oh, I remember that song, singing it in the car with my mum and dad and brothers and sisters. Whenever we read this, whenever we read this psalm and think about this, blessed one, you know, we look at ourselves and think, this is definitely not me. I am not the supremely happy or blessed one. But as we read it, we can't help but think, can we, about the truly blessed and happy person. The one who would not walk in step with the wicked or stand with sinners or sit with the mockers. Of someone who delighted in God's word day and night, delighted in it so much that he was prepared to die. Even whenever it seemed like everything in his life meant not prospering, he obeyed God's word perfectly. The one who, like a tree planted deep down into the water, did not wither in the face of the storm of death. The one whose fruit mean the healing of the nations. Friends, as we think about the psalm, as we sing this psalm, as we pray the psalm, we can't help, can we, but to be stirred of the Lord, of his kindness. You know, the one who, the only reason you will stand in judgment, sit in the assembly of the righteous, the only reason you'll know God's gaze over your life all of your days is because of the truly blessed one, the Lord Jesus, the perfect, happy man, the truly blessed one who became a curse, an anti-blessing for your sake. Friends, there are only two ways to live, but only one leads to life. The one truly man, the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are with us through your word. Thank you for Psalm 1 and how it helps us understand the rest of the Psalter and about who you are, Lord Jesus, the perfectly blessed, happy man. Pray you'd help us now as we respond in song. In your name we pray. Amen.